you say. They sell you the globalistic notion. You got to integrate everything today. I tell you, the people don't seem aware at all. Too many other things to do. And everything is falling down for the deaf, dumb, and blind. They're doing away with borders. It's a new world.
Good morning, America. Once again, it's time for the Jim Guest Show. I am your host, Jim Guest, a Missouri State Representative living and working in the great state of Missouri, the heart of America. Maybe I should change my opening monologue to say I am a lame duck state representative here. As term limits in the state of Missouri were instituted about 10 years ago and were limited to the amount of time we can serve as either a state representative or a state senator. So many people who voted for that here in this great state or think they've made a mistake, even though we've always had term limits at the ballot box. However, many people were confused and adamantly support a term limit at the federal level, as they believe our federally elected officials lose touch with those people back home. And this year, I think come election this fall, we'll see if some of those people don't get termed out. As always, this program is brought to you over the RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, the voice of freedom across this great country. If you want to help support the RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, you can by contributing to them during their office hours tomorrow, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Call their business office at 1-800-724-2719. And always you can help support them by purchasing their generic business cards. Very economical to buy and leave as you're traveling or doing your business. So help support them as you travel around and support a great radio program. As always, the call-in number for this program is 1-800-313-9443. And first off, I want to thank my co-host, Tom Ritter, for handling the program last week as I was taking a few days off for personal travel and a little work and vacation time and was unable to come to a reliable phone to do the program. As always, Tom is there, and Tom, you're probably on the line right now.
I am. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Well, it's there's never ending what pops up in this country or in the political world. And
yeah, and last week we had a little discussion about some information you're not necessarily hearing about the BP situation down in the Gulf. So we had a pretty interesting show last week.
Well, I tell you what, if you can't turn the TV on or any news program without hearing something about BP this and BP that, and you know, it's a little disconcerting that we have, I think we have something up out of control, and it's apparently what I heard last night going to get in the stream and threaten the coastline of Florida, where our guest this morning is from Florida, so we'll be discussing that there. So anyway, we're going to talk about the Real ID Act this morning and how it's affecting the state of Florida. Stay tuned to the Jim Guest Show as we continue on.
Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Hey, welcome back, America, to the Jim Guest Show. This morning, three weeks ago, we had the 10th Amendment Center from Andrew Napion from Florida, from the 10th Amendment Center. And during our conversations prior to that, I guess I always get educated here once in a while, found that Florida had implemented through their legislature, the compliance with the Real ID Act. Well, as you know, I and others around the country have been working to repeal that, and we thought probably federally it was probably dead. It's been put off. It's not to be implemented until May 10th, 2011. However, the people in Florida have to comply with it. And I came across a real patriot down there, Paul Henry, who was working to get that repealed, and I want to thank Paul for giving up his Sunday morning to come on the air here as we talk about the effort that he is working with down there, and help, maybe people can help support him and others in the 10th Amendment Center to get this repealed. So good morning, Paul, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Hopefully we can educate some people to give you some help down there. So, hey, as always, give us a little bit of background about Paul Henry, what you do and how you got involved in the 10th Amendment Center and especially opposing this Real ID Act.
Well, I need to say, first of all, I'm not affiliated with the 10th Amendment Center. I agree wholeheartedly with
okay.
what they do, but I am my own organization here, Floridians Against Real ID.
Okay, good.
I am a retired highway patrol trooper. I worked in the state of Florida in law enforcement for 25 years and retired in 2006. I didn't really get politically active. I wanted to retire and kind of work on my hobbies a little bit, and I found that I got hit with a bunch of taxes, and to make a long story short, that got me politically active. And I looked into this Real ID thing when I saw it was coming here, And when I saw the provisions of it, that just really upset me, and I decided I needed to do something about it. So last month we got this Floridians Against Real ID underway.
Okay, you brought up one very important point. You said you're a retired highway patrolman. Basically, you've had to do with background checks and all of this, and you probably appreciate, as much or more than anybody else, how we need to keep our personal data secure and the chance of identity theft and all of that. So you probably...
That's correct. I can tell you the last 5 years I worked was in criminal investigations. I worked many identity theft cases, the most egregious of which was somebody just by finding a driver's license was able to impersonate somebody else in two different states. So it's certainly, they call it the fastest growing crime in the country, and it's really a mess once that happens to you. And when we have the government basically aiding and abetting this process, that should be a huge red flag to people.
Absolutely. I've always said if this gets implemented, it'd be open season on identity theft with all the open doors and the ways that you could infiltrate and steal this information. And that was one of the arguments I used here in Missouri to get legislation passed to reject that. So,
well, we're not so fortunate down here in Florida, Jim. In our legislative bill in 2008, we only had two legislators vote against it.
Yeah, I was reading up here on your website. Basically, your article, Floridians Against Real ID, was posted on the 10th Amendment Center. And so why don't you give us on the air here a website so people want to follow along or get involved?
Okay, it's www.liberty, the word liberty, and then the year, 2010.org, O-R-G, and then there's a / the word real ID, R-E-A-L-I-D. So it's liberty2010.org / real ID.
Okay, yep, we got it down here at the bottom of this article. So, tell me again, when did you start getting organized here to get this repealed then?
About a month ago. The law became effective. It was passed in 2008 here in Florida.
Yeah.
It's kind of a domino effect. Of course, as you know, the federal Real ID law was passed in Congress in 2005. It was kind of snuck into the tsunami relief bill. And then it got passed in Florida in 2008 and actually implemented as of January 1 of this year. So, fortunately and unfortunately, most of our citizens have not really been exposed to it, and it's already making a huge impact. The media has come out fairly well and accurately with it, talking about the longer lines and the frustration people are experiencing. And, of course, now it's creating a whole class of law-breaking citizens with no intent to break the law, simply because they cannot find a document from, say, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago that the state is demanding they provide.
Yes, that's the case there, that you have to have your, probably your original birth certificate or two that to verify who you are. Of course, the argument for that is that they think this is going to stop illegals and terrorists from coming into this country.
Well, Joe, I can share with you another experience from law enforcement. One of the problems we had when we worked what's called a driver's license fraud case, in other words, somebody going into the driver's license office and getting an identification document that was not them, you would have, say, a 21-year-old girl that worked with an 18-year-old girl, and the 18-year-old girl wanted to get an ID to get into a club. Well, the 21-year-old would say, here, take my birth certificate, my Social Security card, whatever, and go in, and you can get an ID card that will put you over 21. Now, think about it. A birth certificate, a Social Security card, any of the number of these documents that the state's wanting to take, what is it that they have in common? They do not have your photograph on them. So even with this real ID law in effect, that same process can take place. So it's not really accomplishing what it sets out to accomplish.
What does it take to get a driver's license in Florida now?
It's a whole laundry list. It starts out with your birth certificate or passport. Now, I'm talking strictly to the citizens. Now, if you're a guest, shall we say, there are other rules and things, but I'm speaking strictly to the people that have lived here and are American citizens. A birth certificate or passport, a Social Security card, a paycheck stub or a W-2 form, that's the second group, and then the proof of residence, you have to have two different proofs of residence, and it's a very diverse group of what includes many of very private papers, such as your bank statement, a mortgage payment, a coupon, anything with your address on it like that. And it's just totally invasive. And I'll speak to that in a little bit here about our Constitution here in Florida.
Okay, you hit upon right there one of the arguments that we were using was all your personal information and data that will have to go into this data file in the state of Florida, or it would have been here in the state of Missouri, that supposedly only state Department of Revenue or DMV personnel would have access to. But with the fact that they were going to have a central data file and people from other states would have access to it, your personal information is no longer confidential, but it's subject to being viewed by anybody around the country. And that was one of the basic arguments that we used here in Missouri. But I think the one that probably hit home the hardest here was the fact that, which we were calling it a national ID card, which basically is the forerunner to that, and more people were concerned that they were going to have to carry a card around with them and eventually be subject to stop by any law enforcement or federal officials at some point in the future. So, now, we were talking about the... how's your... you said you've been working for about a month here. So what's your organization, and what kind of support are you getting?
Well, we are called Floridians Against Real ID. We're also, I'll say this, we're on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. The title of the group on Facebook is Lawsuit Against Real ID in Florida. Real ID is two words there. But if you do a search on Facebook, it'll come up, and we've got a lot of information posted there, just like we do on the website. It's just a handful of us here in the Tallahassee area is where this is kind of starting out. We're hoping as more and more people experience the frustration and the sometimes inability when they try and renew their driver's license or just do a simple thing like get an endorsement put on there, that they will come and join us. We need the support of the people throughout this state. We're not really looking for a legislative solution right now because our legislature is not in session. And our legislators, as I said before, only two of them voted against it in 2008. Many of those same people are still in office. And the legislators that we've contacted here in the Tallahassee area have pretty much ignored us. So we're looking at this point to get a movement going in court for a suit to overturn this law based on four different situations, three of which are involve the Constitution of both the United States and the state of Florida, and then the fourth of which is that it is putting the citizens at risk for identity theft.
Mm-hmm. When this passed in 2008, was there much, did it make the news? Was there, was it kind of slipped through quietly in Florida, or were people really aware of what was taking place?
To answer your question, no, I don't think there was really any coverage of it. And just like what goes on in the federal level, you think back to how the Republicans backdoored this in 2005 into this other bill because it couldn't pass when it was H.R. 418, as you're aware.
Right. Yep.
It couldn't pass. It could not be enacted. So what did they do? They slipped it in the back door in this other bill with tsunami relief, and I'm sure no one person can read these 1,000-page-long bills. So they just said, it sounds good, so we'll vote for it and pass it, and so they did. And the same thing happened here with this SB 1992 here in Florida in 2008. It's an omnibus type of bill. I mean, there are, you know, all these different pages, all these different topics, and they actually have staff review it. And the interesting thing, when I went to the Florida legislature's website, we are fortunate here in Florida to have a fairly open government to where if you look for it, you can find it. The staff of the Transportation Committee did review this, and the reason that they listed why we had to enact this law was to comply with the Federal Real ID Act. So it's kind of bootstrapping off of one unconstitutional law to make another unconstitutional law.
So true there. Yes. Hey, we're coming up on our break here. Stay tuned as we go along here. We have time for questions. But then this is the Jim Guest Show. We'll be back after a short break.
From Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. There's pride in every American.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Hey, welcome back, America, to the Jim Guest Show. We're talking with Paul Henry, a patriot. He was getting involved when he can see a violation of their U.S. Constitution and their basic rights and the Florida Constitution here. As you know, we had the federal government pass the Real ID Act. It was slipped through part of the tsunami and funding for our soldiers in Iraq, and around the country, we've been able to basically get several states, at least 15 that I know of, to legislatively repeal it or reject it in those states. However, there is an effort in Florida. It was passed in 2008. In Delaware, they are working now to implement that there in that particular state. In Nevada, there was a temporary measure put in by the governor, Jim Gibbons, who I'm not sure if he got voted in their primary just recently here. It expired, but the legislature does not plan to renew it there. So obviously, they're seeing some pressure. The Department of Motor Vehicles in Nevada wants to implement it there. In New Mexico, the lieutenant governor and the Democratic candidate for governor supports the Real ID, but she also opposes a driver's license for undocumented immigrants. So we do have an effort on some states to continue to reject it. Interestingly, in the United Kingdom, where they really believe in the government watching where you go and what you do and carrying national ID cards. They are in the process of repealing their national ID cards over there under their new Prime Minister, David Cameron. So even though we, our federal, our governments, different places are implementing this, there is a movement in different places to back up and retreat and take a look at it. So first off, I want to say, Paul, I certainly thank you for your effort down there in implementing or working on getting this rejected or repealed or ruled unconstitutional down there, because sometimes when you first start out, you feel like you're taking on the world by yourself, but you will, as you say, gain some support and people aligning with you. So your step right now, you say, is to file a lawsuit. Where is that right now?
Well, Jim, right now what we're looking for is some legal help from a constitutional attorney. That's the first thing we need to find is somebody. I've gotten a complaint drafted up. It's about 16 pages long, laying out the reasons why I want to have this done and the constitutional grounds, as well as the exposing the public to the risk of identity theft. But I'd like to have, obviously, some legal representation on this. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on TV. So I'd like to have some legal representation to look this over and give me a hand with it. We do have several attorneys in this area, one of which has taken a look at it, or is taking a look at it, I should say, and is going to give us some advice on it. But we'd really like to have somebody that specializes in constitutional law to take a look here and see, is this okay, or what needs to be done, or what needs to be added, or what needs to be removed, type of thing. And then, of course, there's a venue issue as well. You know, do we file this in the circuit court here in Florida, or do we file it in federal court?
I may have some help for you. There's a constitutional lawyer in the state of Washington who is also a state representative there, and I've been on a couple programs with him, and I'll see if I can't contact him. Maybe he could take a look at it, because that's his specialty, like I said, an attorney in constitutional law. So
well, we'd certainly appreciate it. That's the one thing we really need help with right now.
Yeah, I mean, especially since he's been working with this Real ID Act and opposing that, so it would be right down his alley, and I'll see if I can't get a hold of him, and maybe you two can relay some information back and forth, and you could just email him, take a look at it. So,
all right.
So let's see. We want to make sure. Let's give out your website for those people who are maybe didn't get it down the first time.
It's www.liberty2010.org, O-R-G, and then a / realid, R-E-A-L-I-D, all one word. If you happen to land at the liberty2010.org main page, there's a menu link at the top that says Floridians Against Real ID, and that will take you to the website itself.
Jim, you were speaking about all these states pushing back, and I find it interesting. I'm planning on some overseas travel for some business dealings that I have, and I was looking at the TSA website because I haven't flown overseas in a while to see what all the requirements are. And it says one of the requirements is a driver's license issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles that meets Real ID benchmarks. And it says in parentheses, all states are currently in compliance. Well, isn't that interesting? I thought there were all kinds of states that are saying no to this, and right here on the TSA website, they said all states are doing this. So what is it? I wonder why they do
this. You know, this is one of the arguments I had, too. We in Missouri comply with the basic requirements of Real ID as far as getting a driver's license. You have to show your original birth certificate, and here we have to show a photo ID and your place of residence. Where we really objected to, since we already complied with the first part of that, we were really objecting to the part of putting all your information in the central data file, and the fact that you have to show it every time you went into federal post office, since that would be a federal building. So, hey, we're coming up to another break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll continue with our discussion with Paul Henry and rejecting the Real ID in Florida. Stay tuned.
And New York to LA, where there's pride in every American.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Today in America, you are facing threats of bank holidays, currency devaluation, confiscation of funds by lawyers and various government entities. We at Panama Legal Offshore Law Firm based in Guatemala have offshore solutions. For instance, we can form an anonymous Hong Kong corporation for you, get you a bank account, a $1 trillion Hong Kong bank that'll let you own 10 different currencies in your account. If one or two currencies go down, the others will go up. You'll have no Hong Kong taxes, strong bank secrecies, no tax treaty with the USA, no need to go to Hong Kong, access your funds online from anywhere in the world, and you could even get an anonymous Visa card without your name on it or in the script through us. So come visit us at panamalaw.org. That's www.panamalaw, one word, panamalaw.org. And you can chat with us on Skype or use our encrypted chat and discuss your needs. Thank you.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Attention all business owners, save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences, it's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Hey, welcome back, America, to the Jim Guest Show. As we continue on with our discussion with Paul Henry here this morning, and just went to break, Tom Ritter, my co-host, brought up an interesting topic here, a question about when he's going to travel out of the country and whether he has had to be a driver's license or documents that were compliant with the real ID. We are going to be traveling out of the country here in about 3 weeks, and we just went ahead and got a passport. I don't recall to comply with that, so we'll go in that later. Hey, we do have a caller on the line. Sherry from Kansas is on. Good morning, Sherry, and welcome to the program. And what comments or questions do you have?
Good morning. I was wondering, now usually the federal government gets the states to do this by bribing them. Now, and I was wondering with Paul, was it tied to highway funds or was there some other bribe, and what was it in they were trying to do in the state of Missouri to get you to pass that?
That's an interesting question, Althea. We talked about that. So, Paul, you might address that. How you think, did they bribe him or the cost standpoint there? So
that wouldn't surprise me, Sherry. I don't really know the answer to your question because I haven't followed the money on this. I've been busy with the constitutional aspects of it, getting my complaint written up on that. But that is not unusual, because when I worked for the Highway Patrol, we had to position troopers at what were called speed monitoring sites for 55-mile-an-hour zones when that law was on the books, for fear of losing our federal highway money, which I always looked at as our highway money because all money comes from us. It doesn't come from the federal government.
did he answer your question, Sherry? Okay, fine. Okay, we'll do that. So, yeah, Paul, you brought up a good point. We talk about federal money, but it's really our money, which goes to Washington, D.C. Then they call it their money, federal money, and send it back to us and tell us how to spend our own money or bribe us or threaten us with restrictions on that. So it's a good point there. So,
and I think she had a second part of her question, Jim, was what they did in Missouri to try to get bribe Missouri to go along with it.
Well, we in Missouri was they were going to say, you know, that if we didn't comply, they might withhold some federal money. And, you know, there is a huge expense to implementing this program. If you're going to set up equipment, a central data file to copy all this information that people bring in, most states cannot afford that. Now, the federal government did give out some small grants to entice certain states to go along with it. So there was, I think we're looking at $200 or $300 million here in Missouri, which obviously we can't even afford an extra $2 million. But off the air, I talked with Paul, and he seemed to think that with his experience as a highway patrolman there, that they already had some of the equipment set up in the state of Florida to comply or get along or be able to copy this information. Is that right, Paul?
Yes, Jim. We have been doing that for years. When aliens would come into the state, we would scan their immigration documents and so forth for that purpose. And I don't know of too many people that are upset about that, because those are not citizens. Those are people coming here trying to get citizenship and then get a driver's license and so forth. And that's a different set of circumstances. But what the equipment was in place there to scan their documents, and I'm figuring that would be the same equipment because it would perform the same function for this Real ID Act. So we would not have that expense up front like many other states would.
Right. You may have already had a system in place to record that. And what you mentioned is what I've always said. Why not focus on those coming into this country to make sure that they are who they say they are, some way of documenting them and keeping track of them, and not put the burden on those of us in this country who are abiding by the law and doing like we're supposed to. So, good point there. Hey, I want to talk before we go to, let's go ahead and take to Jerry in Arkansas. Good morning, Jerry, and what comments or questions do you have?
Good morning. I wanted to ask you a question with response to where you had found that the federal government said everybody was in compliance with the Real ID stuff. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Would it be possible that the federal government is correct because the driver's license have the Social Security number and zip code on them, both in combination equal the number of the beast? And that you can't buy or sell or do anything without those two numbers?
Okay, in Missouri, your driver's license does not have your Social Security number on it. It has another identification number that's peculiar to you.
Right, a randomly generated nine-digit number that you have to show ID that has your Social Security number to get that.
That's true, too, yes, right.
And so could it possibly be that the individuals that are, you know, and I sympathize with them, I agree with them trying to stop something called Real ID, but couldn't it be that they're maybe like 40 years too late and they need to revoke their Social Security number and zip code, completely get out of the system?
I certainly couldn't argue with that one there. So, as far as the question that Tom brought up, I don't have a question of why the federal government is saying that you have to have a Real ID compliant driver's license. Is that what they were saying, Tom?
Actually, they said that one of the forms of ID to travel was a driver's license that was in compliant with the Real ID benchmarks, which was the you had to have the digital scan of the thumb or the face, and then obviously all the different identifications. So there's various aspects of the Real ID benchmarks.
Well, don't they take your picture when you get a driver's license?
Exactly, that's my point.
Okay. Last question, if I could, please. Wouldn't it be possible to understand that they're trying to put this like $200 or $300 million on Missouri to have a separate computer system? However, the federal government's already hacked into your system when you get a picture in your driver's license on your that they put on their computer already, and that they already have it federally, but only the states don't have it.
And perhaps that's what they mean by all states are currently in compliant. Maybe they already have that, Jerry. That might be the, that might be the answer.
Right. And, you know, just the last comment I'd like to offer is, generally speaking, the public finds out about technology about 20 or 30 years after it's been developed. So I just hope people would start moving towards revoking their Social Security number and revoking a mail address and getting a post address. You can defeat the system almost instantly when you do those things. And I would hope you all would consider that, because there's so many good people that want to fight this, but they seem to be in denial that they've already been snookered. So,
that's,
thank you, guys, and you know, I enjoy listening to your show.
Okay, very good, Jerry. Hey, Paul, let's before we run out of time and get some more calls here, I want to go back to the basis of your lawsuit and who you were who this is going to be filed against, and the I think there's four reasons or provisions that you're basing that on. So let's go into that right now.
The way the suit is written, we're looking at the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, which is the department that gives out driver's licenses and identification cards. Now, by statute in Florida, the head of the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles is the governor and cabinet, and that's our governor, attorney general, chief financial officer, and commissioner of agriculture. So that's the who. The points that I'm making on this are, number one, the basis, and it's kind of legalese here a little bit, but they're intertwined with each other, so you have to have one to have the other. The first argument is the federal law is unconstitutional, because what's happening is the federal government is stepping in and saying to the states, how to do something that is a power reserved to them. If you read the Tenth Amendment, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. And driver's licenses and identification cards are state documents. There's no interstate commerce, like they try and backdoor a lot of stuff in like that through Congress, because you're buying a Florida driver's license or ID card in Florida. You're not paying the money to Georgia or Alaska, and it's not crossing the line. So it's a within-state transaction. So it's inarguable that it is a violation of the Tenth Amendment for the federal government to step in and say, this is what you have to do to issue a driver's license. That's my first point. The second thing is the Fourth Amendment gives us the right to be secure in our houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. For the government to get this information that they want, much of which is privately held, like I talked earlier, the mortgage coupon book, the bank statements, things like that, they have to have a warrant. The state of Florida has never gotten a warrant to get this information from people. Now, to say that you have to only voluntarily give it is not true, because they're using the weight of government in that if you don't do this, you will have an expired driver's license. And what a lot of people don't realize here in Florida is once your license has been expired 4 months, it's now a misdemeanor if you drive on that license being expired. If you don't have an endorsement on your license that's required for some type of operation of vehicles, which you can't get without the real ID provisions, by the way, that's a criminal violation. So they're using the weight of government here, so it's not, there is no opt-out provisions, what I'm getting at there, for the Fourth Amendment. And our Article 1, Section 12 of the Florida Constitution says the exact same thing. The government cannot take this stuff unreasonably or without a warrant. The next point is our Constitution here in Florida, Article 1, Section 23, says that we have the right to privacy against unreasonable and unlawful government intrusions into our private lives. And by forcing us to give up our bank statements, all our mortgage coupons, our rental agreements, our utility hookup statements, things that are not in any government database right now, and put those into a government database, that's very unreasonable and it's very unlawful. The whole Real ID Act was unlawful. That's what I'm getting at the first point. And then it's just kind of compounded upon that. So in legal terms, they'd always call that the fruit of the poisonous tree. If you made a bad search, say, and found drugs in somebody's car, those drugs were excluded as fruit of the poisonous tree because the basis for that search was unlawful. So everything that was found afterwards was thrown out. And it's a similar basis here. Then, of course, the fourth point, as I alluded to earlier, is by doing all this, the state government itself, via the federal government's law, is exposing our citizens to identity theft. As a policeman, I know that if you rob one bank, your chances of getting caught are far less than if you rob five banks. So if you only have to hack into one database to get this information, if you only have to pay off one employee to get this information, you're far less likely to be caught than if you have to break into the DMV and then break into Equifax and then break into SunTrust or Bank of America or something like that. the more you do it, the more chances are you're going to get caught. It's like anything else. So that's my law enforcement perspective on it.
Well, you're right on. These arguments that you use here is what I and other legislators around the country have used for our basis for rejecting the Real ID. First off, the federal law is unconstitutional. It violates the 10th Amendment. This was not a power given to the federal government for them to impose requirements on the states. And we've referenced a couple of Supreme Court rulings, I think, to back up that we're on solid grounds there. In your Fourth Amendment, I've used that argument to be secure in your papers and effects. When you give those up and you put them in a state data file, that's no longer the case there. Your reference to your state constitution there, we did not reference anything here in Missouri on that. And your fourth one, I used that many times, that, as I was saying, you put all this, like I said, open season on identity theft. When you put everybody's information in one central data file, all you have to do is break into it. Or I keep telling people all you have to do is buy some employee to download that, and it's so easy to download the information from that and carry it out and sell it to somebody. And when these databases, if they went into effect, all state databases are going to be linked together. So that if you're in some state and you have access to that data file in, say, Florida from Missouri, you're no longer secure in that. So I think you've got four very valid basis here for your filing of your lawsuit. So,
well, you should bring out what Tom said earlier. I want to comment on that earlier about they take your picture, don't they? And, I mean, that is the most secure way for identification. I'll share another little insight with you here. I had caught Florida's most wanted fugitive back in 2003 when I was working. He had participated in the murders of one of our troopers and a Canadian constable down in the South Florida area in the 70s, and then he had absconded on parole when they actually let him out of prison for whatever reason, and he'd relocated out to Washington. Now, how did he do that? He committed identity theft. And when I found him, it was through getting the photo file from the Washington State Driver's License Bureau from a legal request from Florida for that photo. And then when I got that and compared the two, that's what did it, the photos. So this stuff about all this personal identification information, it's really irrelevant if you're saying we want to do this for a law enforcement perspective. And in a situation like that where I had a fugitive in another state, it was the photo that gave the guy away. It wasn't any of this other stuff that he would have had to provide, which obviously he did provide because actually he was in the state of Washington. Of course, that was before their enhanced driver's license and everything, but he would have been able to get it anyway with the documents that he provided.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good example there of how, you do need something in the photo then, but all this other stuff is just scary. And we've got so many different examples of how easy it is to hack into the estate's database.
Well, Jim, to further that argument, as far as a violation of your personal property, isn't this going to be shared internationally? This is actually folded into an international database. Is that not correct?
It will be. They deny that we will not have a federal database. But then at some point they were talking about linking, not only linking between states, but internationally linking these databases because, the United States made the argument that, some foreign country, we want the information from your database so we know who's going to be flying into our country. And these other countries said, that's fine, but you're going to allow us access to your databases. And all at once, what you thought was secure here in Missouri is now open to being checked by somebody in any other foreign country. So once you start down this road,
there's information. A movement for that as well, Jim, and that's the bad thing. There's a fellow running for Congress here in Tallahassee here named Paul McCain, no relation to John. He's got a K in his name. McCain, and he's brought out about how this federal government is wanting to sell us down the road for something called the Law of the Sea Treaty, which will give the UN jurisdiction over our waters. So it's a growing trend.
Yep, that's it's been a year or two since we've discussed that. Right, there are so many cases there. So, hey, we've got a caller from Missouri on the line here. Let's talk to Jim here in Missouri. Good morning, and what do you have for us?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I agree with Jerry Kirk, and I encourage that totally. But just for the sake of the discussion for the gentleman down in Florida, I'm sure, Jim, you and Tom at least are familiar with Sheriff Mack.
Yes.
Well, Sheriff Mack's case over the Brady Bill, I thought it was a Second Amendment case, but it wasn't. It was a Tenth Amendment case.
Right, yes.
And for this gentleman down in Florida, the Supreme Court came down and said the federal their decision was the federal government may not compel the states to enact or administer a federal regulatory program. Period. So all Florida has to do is just say no.
Yep, sir. Hey, hang on there, Jim. We're coming up to our last break here. I don't want to lose it, but you bring up a good point, yes.
From Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Okay, welcome back, America, to our last segment here. Jim, are you still on the line? Okay, I think we lost him, which I think he may be
still here.
Okay, good. We've got a couple, you got a couple minutes here. I want to give some time to Paul to finish out here, but I appreciate your, you bring up a good point there. So, I didn't want you had anything else?
The decision's already been made, so the state just needs to say, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, and here at you know, here in Missouri, we have said in other states, but then we need to give some help to Paul down there to do that. So, hey, I thank you for calling in, and I want to give Paul the last 3 or 4 minutes here as far as how people in obviously in Florida can help him by joining in there and supporting him and other issues that you have down there.
Okay. Jim, one thing I didn't bring out earlier that I should have is that this is not a Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, progressive type of issue, because the opposition to this spans the entire political spectrum. The last show that I talked on was hosted by an anarchist. While obviously I don't agree with being a conservative, I don't agree with their viewpoint on government and things like that. We agree that we're opposed to this real ID law. The very first group to take opposition to this here in Florida was the Progressive Space, or the Space Coast Progressive Association, which is obviously a progressive group over by the northeast part of the state. So it's not just one political ideology that says this is a bad idea. It really spans the gauntlet of the spectrum here as far as that goes. For us, our lawsuit, what we're interested in doing is finding as many people within the state that want to have a say in this. And to have standing in this lawsuit, of course, you would have to have a Florida driver's license or identification card, because that's the only way this will affect you. As far as down the road, we are going to be asking for some donations, because it's going to cost us money to retain counsel. It's going to cost us, at the very least, several hundred dollars to file this suit. Being a new organization, we haven't gotten all the mechanisms set up for that, but that's something anybody throughout the country would be able to help us with, obviously, is the donations on it.
So I hope those people listening there in Florida will contact you and give you some support, you know, financially when you're going to need that there. But you talked about this coalition of opposition to it. You know, I don't necessarily agree with too many provisions of the ACLU, but we were very much in protecting our rights and liberties. We were very much in agreement that this was a violation of our rights, supposedly protected by our Constitution. And so, here in Missouri, we had a coalition of different factions that, not very issues, would we come together and agree on one. So that's probably what you're going to find there in Florida also.
Right.
So, okay, so people need to contact the... I'm looking down here and get your website up again here to contact you through that website, or that's the best way to get to it. The www.liberty2010.org/realid/index. But anyway, that will get you close enough that you can come up there, get involved, and take part in Paul's effort there in Florida to turn this around, and hopefully as more and more people get frustrated, they'll put some pressure on their legislators to maybe get some support there. So, hey, once again, we're quickly at the end of our program. Paul, I thank you for the work you're doing, and I hope you get support. And Tom, thank you for coming on board. And this is the Jim Guest Show, and we'll be back next week.
There ain't no doubt I love this land. With recent internet